This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The time is 19 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock, and I need a gavel and I need to call for points of order as we briefly discuss the role of a speaker in parliament and the role of a speaker in a democracy. Let me start off by saying apologies that we came to you late, Dr. Kagiso Tike Poe, policy specialist and analyst. Thank you for your patience and thank you for joining us this morning. So we've seen the speakers of parliament, and it's the one role that has really given credence to this idea of gender parity and empowerment, right? So many of the speakers of parliament have been women. We've got Nosivuye Mapisa Nqakula right now. We've had Thandi Modise. We've had Bale Gambete, we've had Frene Ginwala. And I think there we can say, here, here, South Africa. Kagiso Poe?
Yes, hi. Sorry, the line just went dead on me there. Can you hear me?
Yes. I was saying we've had about four distinguished women leading the portfolio of Speaker of Parliament. And I think to that end, we can give South Africa some accolades for, you know, a gender agenda in Parliament. I know that South Africa's got about 40% representation of women or by women in Parliament. So those are good, what would we say, accomplishments?
No, it's a positive development. But I think the key question that everybody is asking is, okay, what then, and how should we view it in light of, I think, I'd say probably the last 5 years more than anything else, where speakers have been put under, I say, a lot of stress, and then the real question becomes, what is it? Because I think it depends where you are. Look, if you go to the rules of the National Assembly, I think obviously not going to take it verbatim, but they say that the speaker is supposed to be an enabler of debate. And is also supposed to play, it's almost like a public representative role, as in they are almost supposed to be an extension of how we as a public are also supposed to see Parliament. And that sounds good, it sounds well, and I think it's something which is quite noble. But I think what sometimes gets underestimated is it is a political role. And we can't get away from the fact that it is normally the party that has the majority votes in any assembly in the world that gets to distribute this office. And so therefore, what you tend to look for, and I think you're right in citing the earlier speakers, is it's somebody who can give the belief that, listen, even if you're in the opposition, you get a fair hearing when you're in this place. But they also are not afraid to say, listen, I also know where my bread is buttered. And I think so it's almost like being a chameleon. The opposition needs to believe that this person is listening to me, even though I know what their colors are. And you and I are supposed to say, you know what, this person is playing a fair role. But at the same time, the governing party also knows that the person they put there should also sort of protect their interests. So it's a chameleon's role, to be honest. It's a hard one. Maybe that's why they give it to women.
So four women out of six speakers. Yeah, so you need a bit of emotional intelligence. So let's start off with the basic one. What is that chamber of the people, the parliament? This is where, in a multi-party democracy, we elect representatives. They come from different political spheres, but they all go in there to represent different constituencies in the country. And it doesn't matter that some got 55% of the vote, others got 10% of the vote. Once they are sitting in the chamber, it's almost a microcosm of what South Africa looks like, and all of those voices need to be given a hearing. And it is the speaker who facilitates that discussion, debate on laws, policies, and programs.
No, that's exactly it. And I'm sure many of your listeners would also have seen that where the speaker is positioned, there are normally people who, for lack of a better word, are dressed as barristers or lawyers.
Okay.
And that also symbolizes the rules, I think rules and responsibilities. As you say, look, depending on how many votes you come in with, that voting also comes with the degree of how many minutes and hours you have to speak.
Oh.
And those people that are there, yes, that's the thing. You know, it's always one of those weird things, because I used to work at the legislature, so it's one of those weird things one gets to know, is that not all the minutes, let's say the hours, are not distributed democratic. Well, they are. Let's say they are. but it's according to, well, how many votes did you get? That's why you'll notice that the speaking order in most parliaments and legislatures, it'll always be the governing party, the official opposition, because that's where the terminology actually comes from. And then comes a third, fifth, and depending on how you go down, that's how many, that's how time is allocated. So those people you see there who are dressed there, they actually are assisting the speaker to be able to administer the rules of the House. That's why the famous wording, which has become quite famous in South Africa, point of clarity, point of order. That's why sometimes the speaker will consult with those individuals to actually make sure what rule are they rising on and is it within it. So it's an interesting facet that it is a representation of democracy, but it's also one that speaks to how many votes and how many seats you actually have in the House.
Okay, but even if you are a small party and you're going to get your 30 seconds, you need to be heard. And your issues need to be debated. It could be anything from the right to smoke marijuana to sexuality to pit latrines in schools. All of those issues need to be given a proper hearing in Parliament. So how would you rank the South African Parliament in really giving an ear and an audience to the issues of ordinary people as they're represented by their MPs?
And now this is probably where the debate comes from, because in form and function and rules, the South African Parliament also allows for people to come to, even if you're not the biggest party, to come with rulemaking, right? Your ability to bring things to the floor. So on form and function, yes, the South African Parliament is quite ahead in that. However, and I think this is what we're seeing probably the world over, because I think there's a wording you used when you started. You said it's a representation of constituencies. And in the African context, I would argue we don't quite feel the idea of constituencies because it's more political parties. As you would have known, a lot of our political parties will claim to say they've got every, they've got North and South of South Africa covered. Only actually few parties actually have that. In truth, we don't have a constituency-based system. We have a political party-based system. So then the key question comes in, is are South Africans' true issues really brought on the table? Look, I always cite two or three, and I'll maybe just for the purposes of time, I'll stick to the key one. The issue of unemployment in the economy in South Africa. If you look at how it is debated and how it's rolled out in many of it, and I think people speak to the SONA, people speak to the debates, people speak to the Minister of Finance when they give that presentation. But in reality, while you can have a form and a function of this, as in everything is right on paper, a lot of South Africans are feeling that it doesn't really hit them, as in we are not seeing it. And hence, a lot of the idea of democracy, or liberal democracy, comes into contestation where people ask, you can have the what I term form and function, but are you the substance of what comes from it? Right. And that's where it's a bit of a debate in South Africa.
Okay, so there you mentioned that the role itself really came under scrutiny perhaps 5 years ago. I would say perhaps in the latter years of the Baleka Mbete tenure, when the issue of Nkandla came to the fore. And it that public protector report had to be debated by Parliament to the extent that it would inform a vote of no confidence, possibly an impeachment. And there was a sense that the Speaker was obstructive. The Speaker was not being neutral, which is a fundamental principle of her role. And then you fast forward to Palapala and the Section 83 and all of those issues around having this issue aired out, and the Speaker needed to also say to the ANC, back off, didn't do it.
Yes, and it goes back to the point of saying, at the end of the day, and as I said, it's a bit of a, as I said, a chameleon's thing, but at the end of the day, we do know the color of a chameleon. I think it's still green, if I'm not mistaken. And that is the governing party will bring in the person who, at the end of the day, you have to, you basically, you have to remember, as I said, where your bread is buttered. So it raises a key question, and sometimes this is a bit of a debate within political science, which goes that should the idea of a speaker be someone totally neutral? In the same way, if you look at SCOPA, how SCOPA has been done in South Africa, and that's a bit of the debate, because I don't care which political party takes over from the ANC, their speaker will still do the same thing. If you look at what happened in Britain, it was their speakers. If you look at what happens in the United States, the speaker always errs on the side of their colors. And that's where maybe the irritation comes in. And I think rather than it being an irritation, maybe it's another site of experimentation in South Africa where we have to ask the question, should that position not be given to somebody who is neutral? And maybe we can even ask the question, should it not be given to somebody who is a legal person? Which is to say, you just simply administering roles and responsibility. Because if you put in the politics, It will become tough. Mm. So it doesn't really matter which governing party.
Okay. And a final question to you, and I hope we can revisit this conversation again. In the context of the United States, the Speaker of Congress is said to be the third most powerful member of the executive. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but after the president and the vice president, constitutionally, if anything was to happen, Armageddon, to the vice president, to the president, the speaker would then become head of state. Is it the same in South Africa? How powerful is the speaker?
I'd probably have to revisit the South African constitution, because I think ours goes on the line more of the British, if I'm not mistaken, and the Canadian system. So I think it would always be the vice president, but after there, it becomes, I think, a National Assembly type of issue, because that's where the true power will come from. Mm. So I don't think it's quite the equivalent. And I think it is an interesting question if, heaven forbid, something were to happen. But I stand to be corrected on this one. I think ours is a bit of a shift from that.
Yeah. Please avail yourself. Let's have a proper discussion on this, just so that we can learn more about the constitutionally described, defined role of a National Assembly Speaker. Currently, our National Assembly Speaker is Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula. Before her, Thandi Modise. Before that, Baleka Mbete. There was also Max Sisulu, Gwen Mahlangu Nkabinde, who'd actually then led both houses of parliament before the National Assembly, was in the Council of Provinces. Baleka Mbete, in her first incantation, Frene Ginwala, the very first Speaker of Parliament, and some would say the very best on that list as well. Do you agree?
Maybe I'll just throw it this way. I probably have to put my colors. I'm not one who really is a constitutionalist or even a liberal democrat.
Yeah.
And I always argue that the South African system did not need that. I understand how it came about.
Yeah.
Because I think there's population and the way politics is in South Africa. I think the American system for South Africans would be of more of interest. But I would not disagree that Ms. Frene Ginwala, I think she gave the gravitas.
Yeah.
And the advantage of always being the first of something. And if you do a great job, we'll always be held in high esteem, and that we cannot take that away from it. So for me, it's between her and Mr. Max Sisulu. It's one and two, basically. Okay. It depends who all your preference is.
All right, let's have this conversation another day. Dr. Kagiso TK Poe.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.